Luke chapter 8. Give you a second to get there. Luke chapter 8. Got the young'uns going over next door. How many of you were here a few weeks back, several weeks back, when I gave everybody a little corn seed? How many of you got your corn seed? How many of you, besides Harry and Speedy, planted your corn seed? Mr. Mark, what do you got going on, Mr. Mark? Anything happening? Okay. Now, Speedy, you know, farmers, they exaggerate sometimes. Speedy said his was about that tall. Is that right, Speedy? About Harry, what you got? A little shorter than that? Yeah. They got theirs. They're growing. And I was thinking, and we're going to look here in just a minute. I talked about that, the sower and the seed, and I gave everybody that kernel of corn. And so that's the report back. We got some, remember, we talked about how you look at that seed and there's no life. It doesn't look like there's life in a seed when you plant it. Man, you just put the thing down and plant it, and all of a sudden, eventually something starts happening, and you can't believe, and you can keep that seed for years, and nothing happening until you put it in the soil and something takes place. Now, those ones that Speedy and Mr. Markham said he thinks something's going on out there, and then Harry said he's got some action there. Those seeds must have been sown in good ground. They must have been sown in good ground. And when I preached the last time, I talked about the four different types of soils that represented the four different types of hearts of people, and of course the seed being the Word of God. But today I want to look at just one of the soils. I'm going to kind of zero in on that. And the title of the message is Good Ground. The Good Ground. And so we look in our text in chapter 8, verse 10. Luke chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible says, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And verse 14 says, "And they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the singing and the anniversaries and birthdays that we celebrated today. I pray now that you clear our minds of all other thoughts, Lord, but your word. I pray you speak to our hearts. Lord, we feel your presence today. Lord, we pray for that one or more that may be here, not sure about their salvation. We pray today will be the day they call on your name before it's eternally too late. Commit it all to you. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The good ground, the key verse, of course, verse 15, it said, "But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard of the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." You know, what makes a good heart? The Bible tells us in Romans 3:10, it says, "As it is written, there's none righteous," which righteous could be translated good, "there's none good, no, not one." And if there's none good, what makes a good ground or a good heart or a good heart for the Word of God to be planted in? The number one point that we want to see, and we'll see it there in verse 15, "So but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart." I want us, the first thing we're going to look at this morning is an honest heart. An honest heart. What makes good ground, or what makes a good heart for the Word of God to be planted in, the very first thing is just an honest heart. See, that's all really God wants out of us. God wants two things, and number one is to be honest with yourself. That's all God's asking you to do. Be honest with yourself. You know, be real, as we like to say today. Be real with yourself. And number two, be honest with Him. Be honest with God. We're not pulling the wool over God's eyes. Huh? You know, you can come in and play church all you want, but God knows your heart. See, God knows if it's a reality or not. We're not fooling God by any means. You can fool me and maybe fool the others, but we're not fooling God. And so God wants this. Listen, this is all God saying. Hey, be honest. It's so hard to admit our faults and our failures. And you know, we try to put on a front and we try to pretend that, or believe that we're something or somebody else. Hey, listen, God's just saying, you know what? Just be honest with yourself. Just admit it and be honest and look and see the truth and be honest in your purpose to know the truth of the Word of God and do it. You know, I hear people say all the time, well, I'm just looking for the truth. But you try to give them the truth, they don't want to hear it. I had a lady that was involved in a cult, in one of the other cult practices. She says, well, I'm really, really looking for the truth. I said, well, if you're really looking for the truth, I said, listen, I got a book that'll help you out. I said, it was written by somebody else that was in that cult that you're involved in. The guy knows what he's talking about. He'll share some stuff, his experience. She goes, oh, yeah, yeah, I'd love to read it. I went back over there the next day. In the meantime, I think she had talked to some of the people, the higher-ups in that cult. And, buddy, when I come to the door, I could see the countenance on her face when I started coming to the sidewalk. I said, this is not going to be good. She don't look real happy to see me, and she wasn't. And I tried to give her the book that she told me she would take. She promised me. And I might as well have been holding a rattlesnake in my hand. I mean, she jumped back. I'm not touching. I'm not taking. I said, now, wait a minute. And I told her, I said, you told me that you're really seeking the truth. I said, all I'm asking you to do is just read it. I said, you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to believe it. Just read it. I said, I read stuff all the time I don't agree with and don't believe. I'll just read it for the information. And she said, no. I said, but you lied to me. She didn't like that. I said, you lied. You told me you were looking for the truth, but you're not looking for the truth because you're not looking past what your cult is teaching you. You're not looking at anything else. And so, you know, what's your purpose today? If your purpose is here today to really know the truth about the Word of God. See, an honest heart will not try to hide its sins. One of the things there, an honest heart's really looking for the truth of the Word of God. And an honest heart, see, sometimes the Word gets, we get convicted. I was speaking this morning in Sunday school class about, you know, comfortable religion. A lot of times we want everything to be comfortable. You don't want me to give you a question at the end of this service. You don't want me to pressure you or at the end say, okay, now I want a response from you from the message. A lot of people don't want to respond to the message of God. We want a comfortable religion, and so when they get under conviction, they don't like it. But you know what? What happens if you get under conviction? What happens if the Word of God doesn't line up with your life? What are you going to do? You know, see, an honest heart's going to say, wow, man, I didn't know that. I see that in the Word of God. I need to line my life up with the Word of God. I'm not talking about being saved by works. I'm just talking about somebody that wants to be pleasing to God. You know, that we want to be pleasing to God. What happens if it doesn't? You know, an honest heart says, yep, you know, I want to do what's pleasing in God's sight. The opposite of that, the dishonest heart tries to hide its sins or else make excuses for the circumstances. See, we like to use circumstances for our excuses to do everything. You know, preacher, I know what the Word of God says, but, you know, you don't know what's going on in my life. Whatever's going on in your life is not going to change the Word of God. Huh? Whatever's going on in your life will not change the Word of God. And so we know the honest heart says, doesn't make excuses for the circumstances in their life. Will not evade the truth of God and seek to establish its own righteousness. You know what we like to do a lot of times when we say, well, when the Word of God convicts us and we realize we're not lining up with the Word of God, well, what we usually say is, well, at least I'm not as bad as fill in the blank. Huh? At least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. But I always tell, you know, people this about that. God doesn't want your least anyway. He wants your best. So don't give God your least. Give Him your best. And we can do just a little bit better there. You know, an honest heart confesses. The publican looked to God and said, be merciful unto me, a sinner. See, an honest heart honestly desires to know the truth about its own self. Have you ever really thought about this? All of us have a concept in our mind of who we think we are. You know, this is who I am. This is what you think. But have you ever really wondered who everybody else thinks you are? You know, and I got to thinking about that just a little bit deeper, you know. Deep in thought. Are we who we think we are, or are we who everybody else thinks we are? I got a feeling you're really who everybody else thinks you are. That's what you are. You know, because we're a figment of our own imagination sometimes. A legend in our own mind, so to speak. Huh? Really, are we who we think we are? Or are we who everybody else? And I wonder if the perception of us from other people is the same as who we think. See, when we start to get honest with ourselves, I just got a feeling that we're not going to be as high up on the pedestal as we might have ourselves today. When we start thinking about it, when we really are honest with who we are, we won't be quite as high up the notches or high up the ladder as we might think we are now. You know that old saying, like to buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth? You know, that would apply right here today. So, you know, a lot of times I hear people say, well, you know, I don't really care what other people think. See, I don't believe that right off the bat. I don't believe that. I don't care who they are. People say, I don't care what other people think. They want people to think they're somebody that don't care about what other people think. See, that's not true. And I'll tell you what, from a Christian standpoint, you ought to care what other people think. You shouldn't be somebody that don't care what other people think. You ought to care about that. Be honest about yourself. That can be a humiliating experience. Another thing the honest heart does, it's honestly willing to put away sin. You know, a lot of times we don't grieve over sin as much as we grieve over the consequences of sin. You know, I think sometimes that people, they grieve over, it's like getting your hand caught in the cookie jar. You're not sad that you were disobeying your parents or whoever told you not to get the cookies. You're not sad about that, but you're sad that you got caught with your hand in the cookie jar. And a lot of times we're not sad about our sins, we're just sad about the consequences of sin. And that's not really the right, you know, attitude or what God's looking for. He wants us to be, grieve over sin itself. So we have to have, number one, good ground is an honest heart. The number two thing, good ground is a hearing heart. Good ground is a hearing heart. See what it said? But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word right there. It's one thing, we have to have an honest heart. We have to have a hearing heart to hear the word. Matthew 13:23 says this, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, and understands it. And here's what the thing would say, well, preacher, you know, if I'm saved, I've got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in my heart. Is that right? That's right. You do have the Holy Spirit of God, but we can lie to the Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Listen to this point right here. The Holy Spirit reveals truth when there is an honest desire to obey it. So that's when the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit knows, see, because He knows if you're playing games. The Holy Spirit of God knows that if we honestly are seeking the truth with a desire to be pleasing to God or line our life up with the light of God's Word. Holy Spirit knows that. Now, if there's no desire there, why should the Holy Spirit reveal anything to us when He knows good and well that we're not going to be obedient? The Holy Spirit reveals truth, and I'm not saying that He never does reveal anything to people that are not going to line up with it, but He does. But that's when I think, when there's an honest desire. Boy, you know, the Bible says what? Seek and ye shall find. You know, and it's talking about the truth of God's Word. If you're seeking, you know, some people say, well, preacher, I just don't understand, you know, everything about the Bible. Let me ask you something. Are you trying to understand everything about the Bible? Are you trying to understand the Word of God? God will reveal it to you. Be honest, listen. Be honest dealing with sin. Honest renunciation of all known sin. Honestly confess our sin. Honest desire to know the truth and to do it. Honest reception of the Word of God without reasoning. All those are conditions that make good ground for the sowing of seed. In that kind of a heart, the Word of God works effectually. Listen, and you know, there's a real simple plan. You know, because there's people, listen, you know, and we've all been in churches a long time and maybe other different churches, and we all know people like this. We all sit under the same preaching. But why does the Word of God affect people in different levels? Or, you know, some people really get on fire for God. Some people, you know, there's a visible change in their life. And other people hear the same preaching by the same preacher and nothing ever happens. I'm going to tell you what it deals with. One of them had a desire to line up with the Word of God, and one of them didn't care. You know, that's the only reason that the power of the Word of God's not taking effect, because somebody's not honestly looking for the truth with the intent of repentance or whatever it takes to line up with the Word of God. The Word of God works effectually in the honest and the hearing heart. A heart of obedience, holding fast the Word of God as revealed by the Spirit day by day. That leads to steady growth. Listen, I don't know what, you know, we were talking about the seeds a couple weeks back. You know, I know a seed doesn't have a brain and it doesn't think. But boy, you know, and I got like, I use this illustration sometimes about producing fruit. If you got an apple tree or a fruit tree or something and it's healthy and everything's good with it, that fruit coming out, you can't stop it from coming out. It just grows, right? I mean, it's just like you can't squeeze the limb and keep it from going back. It just grows, and that's what's going to happen. It leads to growth. This honest heart, this hearing heart with a desire for towards obedience, it will produce growth. You can't stop it any more than you can stop a seed from growing. You can take a seed, you see them sometimes, they'll fall down in a crack of a rock. A rock, buddy. You'll see a tree growing out of a monster rock. You think it never happened, but you can't stop it. You can't stop it. If it gets to where something's good, there's some soil right there. So we've got an honest heart, a hearing heart. And the third thing that we're going to look at is a patient heart. See what it said there? It says in the last part of verse 15, and bringeth forth fruit with patience. Patience. You know, seed, when you put seed in the ground, everybody took your little seeds home, some of you. Some of you probably didn't plant them because you didn't want to wait to see if the seed was going to come up. Now, when you stuck it in there, Speedy said his is real tall. I don't know if he's being stretching it a little bit or not, but he said it's getting up there. But he, Joyce said no. He put the seed in there, and you didn't expect anything to happen like that day, did you? I mean, you wasn't looking for a stalk of corn like that night, you know, and that's just the way it is with planting stuff. What do you do normally in the spring to farm? You plant it. And Mr. Markham said he didn't go down there and look and see if he's got corn. Listen, if it's in good ground, it's going to grow. If it's not, it's not going to grow. You don't have to worry about it. Is that right? You put the seed in there, and it's just going to take off, and it's going to grow. I got two pairs of glasses up here, and I can't figure out which one's mine. Them aren't them. That must be Paul's. You know, it doesn't need to be watched, really, to see, and you don't need to dig down in there and to see if the roots have taken place. Mark 4, 26 through 27 says, and so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. See, the Holy Spirit's doing some things. The Holy Spirit's watching, and the Holy Spirit's doing some work. And you don't always see the growth, but eventually it'll just take off. All of a sudden, you can look out there, and there it is. It's coming up out of the ground, and so patience is needed for that. The Bible says that first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. There's stages of development. And so one of the things that we have the patient heart, you have to have patience with your own self. How many of you get frustrated sometimes about your spiritual growth? How many of you get frustrated about, you know, just things aren't going like they ought to do? So sometimes, you know what, listen, you got to be patient with yourself. Now, I'll say this, most of the time we lose our patience with our spiritual growth because we're not putting everything into, you know, because sometimes people say, well, preacher, you know, I'm just not getting nothing out of it. What are you putting into it? You know? If you don't put anything into it, you're probably getting out just probably more than what you are putting into it, but you're certainly not going to get out any less. So, what, you know, most of the time I'll tell people, you know, I think I was talking to Shelby there the other day on the phone. We were talking about things. Listen, when I'm all unspiritual feeling and I don't know what I'm going to preach on and I'm not sure this and that, you know whose fault that is? It's mine. Because I was running here and there and doing this and didn't spend time in my Bible, didn't spend time praying. That week I got busy and, you know, then on Friday night I'm thinking, what am I going to preach on? Gee, ain't no wonder God hadn't spoke to me because I hadn't spent any time with God. Listen, if you don't spend any time with me, you can't speak to me, right? If you don't spend any time with God, He can't speak to you. And so that's usually my fault. But you know, we need to have patience with ourselves and give God time to work on ourselves. We got to have patience with others too because everybody, you know, one thing about the Word of God, it all doesn't get planted at the same time in everybody's heart. So somebody that just had the Word of God planted in their heart, you can't expect them to be spiritually where you are if the Word of God was planted in your heart 20 years ago. It's not going to be in the same. Everything grows up at different rates. Wasn't planted at the same time. The Bible says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And, you know, that's a great verse there, you know, but about God, the working side, God's side of things. But that raises a question right here. How far does He depend upon me to cooperate with Him? How far does God depend upon me to cooperate with Him to have spiritual growth? I can answer this question for you. I'm glad you asked. Total dependence. Total dependence. See, anytime you resist God or fight against God, you stunt or hinder your spiritual growth. God says, listen, just give it all to me. Turn it. Now, that's pretty easy, right? You know, if you want to look at the illustration of having burdens, and we got burdens on our back. And we always try to, well, Lord, I'll give you some of the burden. Listen, man, if the Lord wants all the burdens, I'll give them all to Him. Give Him your burdens. How hard is that? It's easy to drop the burdens in. And it's, you know what, it's easy to say. You know what I say? Look, you know, it's not gravy. Everybody think, oh boy, pastor's job is easy as all get out. Just works 2 days a week and don't do anything the rest of the time. I'm going to tell you what, man. It's not as easy as you think. Because you're dealing with people. So what do? See, I didn't notice. It took me years to learn this. When I first started pastoring, I couldn't do it. And now you know what I say? Ah, it's God's problem. It's God's problem, man. It's your church. Here, look at this problem. Here, I'm dumping off on you. And that's what God wants us to do. Total dependence upon Him. Utter abandonment. You can go no faster than a full dependence upon God can carry you. You can go no farther than a full dependence. I said faster. No farther than a full dependence upon God can carry you. The only thing that hinders the Holy Spirit in His development of us or in us is us. We're the only thing that hinders the Holy Spirit. Listen, Satan can't do it. The world can't do it. Only you can hinder you. And that's when you won't utterly trust God. Does a grain of seed planted in the ground, does it do anything but trust God? Doesn't do anything, does it? It gets planted in there. It gets sitting. It's in the dark ground. It depends upon God for the rain, the sun, the warmth. It toils not, it trusts. Pretty soon it pokes through the ground and starts to get taller. You know, think about the human body and your own personal growth. I remember when I was a kid, and you know, we all have those growth spurts. And my mom, I used to go from Virginia Beach where I grew up, I'd go down here to Southwest Virginia, down to Troutdale or Sugar Grove and spend a few months, you know, with my great-grandparents and great-aunt and uncle. And I'd go down there and I came home one summer, you know, I guess I had one of those growth spurts, you know. When I got home, it looked like I was wearing them clam diggers, you know. My mom, my pants were way up there like that. She said, great day. You know, it was just one of them things. But I didn't know, other than looking at my pants. I didn't know, and you know, kids, we didn't pay attention to that. You didn't know that they were looked like bicycle pants or whatever, clam diggers. I didn't know that I had grown. What did I do? I didn't do, you know, I mean, I ate. But I mean, I didn't do anything, didn't get stretched out. How did I grow? It's just, you know, it's in the plan of God how our bodies, you know, we grow. I'm trying to get my stomach to stop growing now. I can't. I think I am affecting that somehow. But with getting taller, it just happened. I mean, it just happened. Well, Dad, I'm going to tell you what, there's God's part of our spiritual growth, and there's also our part as well. Good ground is patient ground. And then the last thing is the ripe ground or the ripe heart. Heart. It says there in verse 15, it says, and bringeth forth fruit with patience. It says it bringeth forth fruit. One day, you take a little grain. I gave you all them little pop. They were popcorn seeds is what they were, corn seeds. The Bible talks about corn. A lot of times they're talking about a grain of wheat. And I kind of go back and forth between wheat and corn. But corn gives me sometimes in this part here, corn will be a better visual picture for you than wheat. But you know how a little corn is? You plant one of them little seeds in the ground, and it's just one little thing. Well, then a stalk comes up, and what's a stalk of corn get on it? Like 3 or 4 ears, maybe more, 5? Sometime you get them on there, you get them ears of corn on there, and then you peel them back, and each ear's got a whole bunch of seeds on there, corns on there, little corns are all on there in one little pack. That one little seed produced, I guess, hundreds of other seeds. And there it is, and one day the thing pops up and it finds itself that it's one of many, and they're all bound together and they're in their cozy little nest on top of the stalk. A happy little group living in the sunshine, rejoicing in the summer air, rejoicing in the summer showers. And you know, you got to ask yourself, is that it? We have reached the pinnacle of what our purpose on earth is. We are a grain of corn along with a bunch of other little grains of corn. Now you can kind of picture that, see that you got to get the visual between people and corn here. Here we are, and we're on our happy little ear of corn in here. Huh? Aren't we all happy? Everybody just smiled. Huh? And we got the airs running, it feels good, and we're all in our... Is this it? I mean, we got saved, and we've grown spiritually, and now we're on our in our happy little ear of corn here. Is this the pinnacle of what God intended? Is this the end of it all? Its purpose complete, the goal? See, sometimes we get the idea that salvation is the end. And we sit around in our happy little fellowship with the rest of our group of grains, introverted, self-absorbed, a narrow view, no vision, and no question about our purpose. But when we look at the illustration of the corn, we got to ask ourselves this question: is the gardener satisfied? Like, see, you guys that plant your corn and your stalk comes up, or if you have a garden and you got corn, once it grows up and there it is fully mature, all right, is that it? Are you satisfied? Is there more? You got another purpose for that, right? And that's not the end of it. Well, there it is, got the corn, yep, looks good, all right, let's go back in the house. No, that's not what's going to happen, right? Some things are going to happen. There can be some options with the corn. Matthew 3:12 talks about him gathering his wheat into the garner, which is just a garner's like a storage bin or something like that. And it's talking about the harvest of the Son of Man when he comes to gather his own. And you know, a lot of times people will do this. They get saved and then they sit around in churches and they're saying, "Lord, come on back. Lord, come on back. We're going to have a speed the light service. Just speed the Lord, hurry up and come on back. Hurry up." Do you think that's what God wants us to do? Is just get, we got saved and now we're just saying, "Lord, just come on back. Come on back. Boy, I don't have to pay them bills at the end of the month. Huh? Come on back. Won't have to go to that doctor visit. Come on back. Won't have these aches and pains. Hurry up. Get on back. I'm saved. Come on." You think that's it? Listen, I don't think we're going to speed the Lord up that way. Huh? We're not going to speed the Lord up by praying about it. I'll tell you, this is ahead of my thing, and I don't know that I was going to say it. I'll tell you how to speed the Lord coming back. Get the last person saved that's going to get saved. When they get saved, the Lord will come back because you don't have any reason to wait, but to leave the Lord. But so gathering in, that's not it. That's not the fullest development possible or the fullest purpose possible for that grain of wheat. Salvation and sanctification, not the ultimate end. The next thing he could do, what do you do a lot of times with corn in the sense of a corn of wheat? What do they do with wheat? Anybody ever just taken a wheat grain and just ate it? I mean, it's not baked, it's not cooked, not nothing. You just took a thing of wheat and just... I got a feeling that don't taste too good. It's not all that great, is it? It's not that good. But what do you do with wheat? You crush it, you break it, you mash it, get it into meal. Now, I'm going to tell you what, a big old handful of cornmeal is not all that great either. Just by itself, right? But you can take it and mix it with some things and you put it in the oven and you bake it and it rises. First you get yeast and all, and it rises to a certain point and you can put it in the oven. That stops the rising. And then what, bread's pretty good, huh? That old hot bread out of the oven, boy, you can smell that on a cold morning. Man, it's good, huh? I used to work down there near Wonder Bread there in Washington, D.C. You get down there on a cold late fall morning, they'd be making them cinnamon buns. Oh, my gosh. Man, you're talking about temptation. Boy, you have a whole hot cup of coffee, you kind of see your breath sunny morning, and the whole block would smell like cinnamon buns. You had to run down. They had a little store right around beside it, Wonder Bread, the day-old store where you'd go in there and get the stuff that was, they'd sell it to you cheap right there. Hated to see working at Wonder Bread. But, you know, one of the other goals of the corn, it can be this, is crushed and broken and baked into food. And it talks about, the Bible talks about the fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. It's a picture of His cross and how He was broken and nailed on the cross. And there's a part of our life that kind of goes along with this, because what happens if we're going to be conformed into the image of Christ? I'm going to tell you something, you're going to have to be broken. You're going to have to be, broken of self, Your self-righteousness, your pride, your arrogance, your superior intellectual ability you think you have. And you're going to have to be, you know, give it all over to God, and you're going to have to die to self. And that's going to make us become like Christ. Because what happens is, see, when the oven, you know what the oven does? You know what yeast does? If you don't put something in the oven, what happens if you make a wad of dough with a bunch of yeast in it and you don't put it in the oven, Miss Mark? It turns into a big old mess, doesn't it? It explodes. It corrupts. It rots. I mean, it'll rot. How do you stop it? You put it in the oven. It stops it right on the spot. What happens is, see, if we don't go through trials, if we don't go through fires in this life, I'm going to tell you something, we'll corrupt as well. And so it's a picture there. But now, so God says He wants to get us. Boy, let me ask you this. Say all of a sudden, bingo, poof, pow, we're in the image of Christ. Buddy, we are living the Christ life in this world. We've reached it. Is that the end? God says, okay, well, that's it, I'm done. Nope, there's one more thing. Become a seed grain. John 12:24 says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know what the purpose is of that little seed grain when you put it in the ground? You know when you plant that little seed grain in the ground, you know why you plant that in the ground? So it'll make a whole bunch more of them little seeds right there. It'll make a whole bunch more, multiply in itself. But see, it's got to fall into the ground. It's got to die, and that means die to self. You ever wonder why that we're not very effective in soul winning? You ever wonder why? You know, it just seems like I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but let me ask you this and just answer this in your mind. How many people have you won to Christ, or you attempted to win to Christ since you got saved? And you think, well, you know. And I know kind of how the odds of this would go. And some people might say, well, you know, I really haven't won anybody to Christ. Let me ask you, have you tried to win anybody to Christ? I know old Noah, he preached for 120, only got 8. But he was trying. But here's the thing. You ever wonder why you haven't been very effective in soul winning and you haven't won anybody to Christ? I'll tell you what it is. Because you haven't died to self. Amen. See, because of what it is. But preacher, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. And there's a lot of I's in that. You got to die to self. And now you'll do what? Because see, when that seed comes up and there's all that corn sitting on there and they're all in their happy little stalks and all in their happy little corns, guess who decides what happens to them? The husbandman. And that's the Lord in the Bible. The husbandman. He's the one that decides. And so the ultimate goal for us is to multiply ourselves. In other words, to become soul winners, to start being planters and start planting the Word of God into the hearts, and some of it's going to fall on good ground. And there's our problem. The Bible says this, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Let me ask you this, most all of you here week in, week out. Has the seed fallen on good ground? Has the Word of God fallen on an honest heart, a hearing heart, a patient heart, and a ripe heart? If it does, something's going to happen. You take a seed and you put it in good ground. You put it in and it's got the right amount of sunshine, the right amount of rain and all that. I'm going to tell you something, it's going to grow. We already learned last time there's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. It's going to happen. Listen. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Where are you at as far as your salvation goes? You know, where do you stand with the Lord? Are you sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that you've trusted Jesus Christ with all your heart? You've confessed your sins. You've asked Him to come into your heart. And you're saved without a shadow of a doubt. If not, why not get that matter settled today? Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. We have an invitation. And as the singing goes on, if you need to come to the altar for anything you do, if you're coming down for salvation, get my attention.